Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. CraftBeer.com presents live from the 2010 Great American Beer Festival, Fire and Ice, a beer and seafood throwdown from the 49th and 50th states. Featuring Curtis Holmes, head brewer at Alaskan Brewing in Juneau, Alaska, and Garrett Marrero, brewmaster and owner of Maui Brewing Company of Lahaina and Kahana on Maui in Hawaii. Good evening, everyone. I'm Carolyn Smigalski, the Beer Fox, the editor and writer at Beer and Brewing at BellaOnline.com. I'm here on behalf of the Brewers Association, which is the trade association for craft brewers nationwide. The Brewers Association also presents the craftbeer.com, the World Beer Cup, and Savor, an American craft beer and food experience in Washington, D.C. This is the 29th annual Great American Beer Festival, and there are 2,200 beers out here from 462 breweries in the United States. This entire event sold out 5 weeks in advance. So those of you who are lucky enough to be here are the ones who get the cream of the crop here. Be sure to check out the dynamic Support Your Local Brewery Pavilion presented by craftbeer.com and all the other great pavilions that we have here. Podcasts of these presentations will be available at craftbeer.com. Our first award-winning brewer comes from the land of the midnight sun and has learned the craft of brewing through a combination of Siebel Shorts with hands-on work at the brewery itself. He's been with Alaskan Brewing since 1991. In addition to brewing, his experience includes packaging, filtration, sales, engineering, maintenance. He holds the secrets to Alaskan Smoked Porter, the most award-winning beer at the Great American Beer Festival. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Curtis Holmes.
Hey, Goo. How's everybody doing? Everybody having fun? Yeah? Woo! Oh, I'm good.
Facing off today in this contest of ice against fire is the founder of Maui Brewing Company, the only brewer and canner of craft beer in Hawaii. Yes, 100% of the beers are brewed and canned on Maui. Their portfolio of awards are as impressive as their beers. And just this season alone include 2 medals from the San Diego International Beer Competition, 3 medals from the Australian International Beer Awards, 3 North American Beer Award medals, and 4 medals at the Los Angeles International Commercial Beer Competition. Just keep them coming. Let's put together our wrestling rascals. May I present to you, founder of Maui Brewing Company, Garrett Marrero.
Thank you. I got the hand mic, so. I guess we're just going to start fighting, right?
Yeah. Kinda
everybody looks hungry. I know we started a little late. I'm sorry about that. But my food's not cooked, so you guys are in for a little bit of a challenge there, I think, to the mindset of mainland culture. And then, Curtis, why don't we get into it?
Well, We got some fun stuff for you, some fresh seafood, and I'm going to, I talk a lot with my hands, so I think that's why they gave me the infomercial mic, so I'm not going to sell you ShamWows today. Hopefully you'll be all right with that. Yeah. We started looking at this a couple of months ago, and Alaska's got a great connection with Hawaii, with fresh seafood and a tradition of going back, people living off the land. And in the winter, when it's dark up in Alaska, everybody wants to get out of there. The first place they go is Hawaii.
And it's not a bad place to be.
Yeah. I don't think Hawaiians come up to Alaska ever, but.
No, we were just talking about that because they're doing Beer Week in the second week of January. And I literally don't own the clothes to go to a place that cold. I don't even have shoes. I mean, I have no shoes with any laces whatsoever. So. Yeah, it'd be hard for me.
Oh, yeah. So he's dressed a little better. See, this is Alaska clothes, so I have real shoes.
True.
So we wanted to pair with the fresh seafood. Alaska and Hawaii, you know, people lived off the land. They would go out and get their own fish. In Alaska, we have a very seasonal fish season. So we start at the start of summer, and then we get 5 progressive salmon runs through the summer. and everybody would dry their fish, and then they'd eat that through the winter. And as the sun went down, they'd move inside. They'd be very social people, and they'd sit and share their food with each other as a group. Very communal, much like Hawaii was.
Absolutely. You know, anytime you're in Hawaii, you drive down the road, you're going to see gatherings. We call them luau's. You know, you're having a barbecue at the beach. The Hawaiian culture can barbecue and luau like nobody's business. It's not simply just having a barbecue and throwing some chicken on. It's 15 cases of beer, fryer, smoker, barbecue. Someone will help you pull your cooler out of your car without even asking for help. Open it up and say, hey, you want a beer? And you don't even know the guy. So I think we're all about gathering and sharing with the community. That's, I think, what's been so great about our beer being brewed there is that the community really supports it. So.
Yeah. And while we're once we're getting started here, we'll keep chatting along. If anybody has any questions, please feel free to raise their hand. We wanted this to be very free-flowing. If you have a question about any of the beers or the states we come from, let us know. The first dish going around is Dungeness crab that we have in Alaska. And it's a pretty common dish. The native peoples, it's found in about 35 to 60 feet of water. So it's real easy to get for most people. It's a nice sweet crab if you've never had it. Not quite as rich as king crab. And on this dish, we have a crab with a little bit of spicy coleslaw. So it's got a nice sweet sour flavor going on with a little spicy kick at the end. There's a wonton if you want to use that to scoop it up. We included a crab leg on each dish if you want to be real daring and try and eat the crab. Otherwise, you stick it in your shirt pocket and save it for later. If you haven't ever wrestled with a crab leg, the best way to do is snap the knuckle backwards, and it'll pop right apart, and then you can just break the pieces in half and get to the meat inside. We have various pieces of meat going out there, so just do what you can with them. And if you need help, just raise your hand. We've got a bunch of guys from Alaska. We run over and show you how to do it. So. We're going to pair this with our Alaskan White Ale. We came out with this beer last April. It's a wit-style beer, and basically it's got yeast in the beer, so it's got a nice light haze to it. And you see the polar bear, so Garrett's a little afraid of this. It might be a little too cold for him. This one has orange and coriander, so you get a little bit of spices coming out of the beer. And it'll cut through a little bit of that spiciness that you're going to find in the hot spiciness that you're going to find in the crab and the coleslaw. So I take a little sip. What we really shoot for when we do beer pairings, beer dinners, is we have the three C's. We do contrasting, complementary, or cutting. So it can cut through the flavor, or it can complement it, or you get contrast where they're both totally opposite. And every person perceives that different. So as you're tasting these with all our beers today, try and see which way you'd think, if it'd be a contrast, complement, or cut.
So. Yeah, I tried this dish just a little earlier, and I really liked how it got sweet, and then at the end was hot. And with a wheat beer like this, I think it works real well. I think I wanted to say something, too, about Hawaii and Alaska. Even though Alaska is attached by landmass, it's a very difficult place to get ingredients to, I would imagine, very similar to Hawaii. You know, we have to brew and bring ingredients in from all around the world. We bring in 2, sometimes 3, 40-foot containers a month to bring our malt and our hops and some other things over. But all our beer, of course, is made locally in Maui. We understand each other, I think, more than a lot of brewers do because we are so isolated. True next-day shipping really doesn't exist in Hawaii. I don't know if you can get anything overnight, but no. I think the only way for me to get it is to fly someone out with it, which has happened before. We're just so isolated, a group of islands, that when you need something, you better plan ahead. Otherwise, it's just not going to happen. Try getting a part for your canning machine overnight. That's not likely. We've run into that issue a lot. So I think when this whole thing came about, I was really interested to partake because I wanted to learn more about what Curtis does in Alaska, and I think vice versa. We have so different a climate, a community, but so many similarities as well, understanding each other, I think, in what we do.
Yeah. So. One thing, Hawaii always makes us feel good because about time we complain about things taking a week to get to Juneau. We're Juneau, Alaska. I talk to these guys, and it's like, oh, you have 3 weeks. Then you can come and complain to us.
Sure.
So I don't have much to complain about.
It's not uncommon. Like, everybody who lives in Hawaii, John, you can say, this is John over here from Murphy's in Oahu, great beer bar there. You don't go shopping on Sunday night because you're probably not going to get the milk you want. You're definitely not getting the orange juice you want. And if they don't have your size of underwear, you just tough luck. You got to wait for the next box. So it's pretty sad, but we deal with it. I think my first 2 months in Maui, I was frustrated going shopping and how could you be out of this? Well, that got pushed to the wayside pretty quickly. Now it's just common. So you always know the newbie because they're freaking out about the littlest thing to us now. We just get by. So,
and I just, while Garrett was talking, I realized why he got the better microphone because I'm having a little trouble here. So, so I'll take
I think
a few
you can drink
breaks.
Through that. It's a snorkel microphone.
Oh, there we go. You just dip it in.
Right?
Yeah.
Is that okay?
It's waterproof.
He's like, no, please.
It looks really cheap, too.
Yeah. So you guys picked the Saturday night session, huh?
Yeah.
Nice. It's that's a bold maneuver. As you can see in here, it gets crazy. I think it's just really starting. But I think you're in a safe zone right now. But be cautious out there. Make sure you drink lots of water. But have a lot of fun. And most importantly, just learn as much as you can about the beer. Everybody here does things so very differently. And I mean, aroma, color, stylistic approach to the beer, it's so different than what we think of as beer every day. You know, I don't drink a lot of large domestic beers. When I go somewhere, if I was in Alaska, I'd be drinking Alaskan. I'd be drinking Midnight Sun. I'd be drinking, Gabe just moved somewhere and is opening a new brew pub, I think, right? So, I'd be drinking the local beer. And that's what I'd encourage you to do wherever you go. Do the same with your vegetables. Do the same with your local dairies. We're losing 2 family farms, I think the statistic is, every day in this country. So while we're weakening our own country, we're strengthening others, and we're getting product that isn't as good. At our restaurant, we serve only local greens, so there's not a single green in our restaurant not grown on Maui. Maui onions, Maui tomatoes, we're even trying to get eggs, which has been difficult. Maui Cattle Company beef, why import beef? We have some of the best quality around. And you have the same access here in the mainland, even more so, more variety. Encourage you to support your local. You will spend a little more, I promise you, but it is going to give you a much better experience. Your product is going to last longer. I know for us at the restaurant, we have far less waste when we're cooking with local ingredients than we do with mainland ingredients when we used to have lettuce come in. It's already 12 to 14 days old by the time it gets to my restaurant, as opposed to picked out of the field Thursday morning when my beer driver goes and picks it up. So from a quality, nutritional, and freshness standpoint, buy local first in absolutely everything you do. You keep the money local. You keep your friends and your neighbors off unemployment. It's very important to do. And I think being in a small, isolated area, I think we have that mindset naturally.
Yeah, so we do the same thing. Unfortunately,
that's my soapbox.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, unfortunately, in Alaska, we don't have all the fresh fruits and vegetables as much because it's very rugged terrain. There's not a lot of populace there to keep things going. So a lot of the stuff we get, we import. But luckily, our seafood is very fresh. So you get really spoiled up there that 5 minutes from your house, if you live along the coastline, you can go out and we can catch Dungeness crab. We'd be eating it in about 3 hours. So unfortunately, you guys living here, you got to deal with the distance. But you can still find great local seafood. And if you do get seafood, I really push people to try and get sustainable seafood. A lot of people think that means fish farms. We tend to go with, you know, save your resources, keep your fisheries healthy. We wouldn't have to all resort to fish farms. In Alaska, we've been very lucky because of the lack of population that we have a lot of pristine rivers, streams. We get a lot of salmon returns back, where a lot of the rest of the world is actually decreasing in their salmon streams. Ours are very healthy. So when you get Alaskan salmon, it's a great benefit to the local economy for us especially. One thing that always surprised me when we went to Hawaii this last year actually is you never think about Hawaii not having natural resources. And, of course, Alaska, we're known for our oil. And so when we go to Hawaii, I really realize that they're shipping everything in, but they can grow a lot there. We're kind of the opposite. We have the money to ship everything in, but we're trying to deal with what little we have there and make up for it. So.
Sure. Well, even like I think we were talking about the barley. You have a smoking house that you do your smoke. One of the maybe the secrets, I don't know, so of the smoke beer. But you, I think both of us are so isolated, we have to find a way to do what we want to do at all cost. We are fortunate that we have the fruits, the vegetables, the fish. Hawaii is unique, too, because the islands just leap out of the water so rapidly that we have very deep water close to shore. So we get big ahi just on the other side of Molokai, which is 9 miles off the coast of Maui. You get big fish. Unfortunately, every time I go out, they go running. I think they're scared of me. I have yet to catch a real decent fish. In the great fishing in Hawaii, I have not caught a good one. That's scary. That's why I want to go there, because I hear the fish just jump on the line in Alaska.
They don't on my boat.
No, not on yours? Damn, it must be like mine. Yeah. But, you know, we don't have natural resources. That's why solar is such a big thing in Hawaii. We don't have oil fields. We don't have gas fields. I hope they never find it, because then we're really screwed, right? But we do a lot of solar power. At our brewery, we're adding solar panels to power both the brewery and the brew pub. So my dream for our company is to have our packaging, all the beer we produce, all the food we produce, be 100% off-the-grid energy. So we're doing solar thermal for the water heating, so we're not using gas, those types of things. And largely it's because we sometimes run out of gas. I've literally had the restaurant shut down because there was no gas delivery to the island because of a storm at sea. It's a weird thing that you just can't quite wrap your head around till you actually experience it. So.
Yeah, yeah. And we're same way. We have a CO2 collection system. We collect our own CO2 off our beer. We're working on burning our spent grains for fuel instead of oil. So we're in the same boat. We're really trying to live off what we have and be a waste-free brewery. And I encourage you all to do that in your home life too. You know, use the resources you can use locally and try and recycle. And we can get off our soapbox and talk food, I guess.
Oh, no kidding. I was just going to say, we should probably see how everybody enjoyed the crab. And I'd like to prep you a little bit. Like I said, I don't have any cooked food today. It's all ahi. Anybody familiar with ahi? It's a yellowfin tuna. It's a great fish. I think the BA, God bless them, they really helped us out. Yeah, Bikini Blonde Lager. When they saw the price, I think Bradley's eyes must have jumped like out of his head. He's like, dude, ahi, really? It's so expensive. But it's good, and it really is traditional for what we eat in Hawaii. I think as much as this was billed as a fight, I think it's more about information. It's the throwdown, the fire and ice. I think Curtis and I have a lot of fun with it. Ashley is a clever marketing, and we appreciate that. But I wanted to go very traditional with what we do and what we eat. I could have seared it. I could have done a vanilla macadamia nut sauce and called it local, but that wouldn't have been fair to you because you wouldn't have experienced what we actually eat. I don't think a week goes by where I don't have some poke, and this first course is a traditional poke. Now, I apologize in advance because no can eat poke with a fork, but we get them. So we don't have chopsticks, but that's not Mackenzie's fault. Now, poke is a traditional Hawaiian dish. This one in particular predates even the shoyu, the arrival of the soy sauce in Hawaii. This is just seaweed, which we call ogo, a certain variety. It's green onions. The ahi cubes, obviously, this is a number one ahi, a sashimi grade, and it's tossed with a little bit of the water from the ogo, and then right before we served it, we took a left and added a little bikini blonde on top to give it a little bit of wetness. So enjoy it. I know some of you are saying, God, I don't want to eat raw fish, but open the mind, step outside the box a little bit. Let's just try it. I guarantee you're not going to get sick. This is a very wonderful fish. My next course is a less traditional version, which I think you'll like as well. But I can see some of the faces out there. They're like, ooh, raw. Wow. Okay.
If you haven't had it, it's well worth trying. I just had raw ahi probably like a year ago for the first time.
Yeah.
I actually really enjoyed it. So.
It's a wonderful fish. I mean, it's really our steak. You know, we don't have, we have great cattle, but traditionally we had the ahi. Yes, I would love one. But poke is something that you just go up to a shop. A lot of the supermarkets, they have little, like here you have delis. In Hawaii, they have little poke windows. You just go up and get, there's slides of different types of poke, whether it be like this one, traditional, spicy. Some are done with taco, which is octopus. So we do poke. It's just really a raw fish salad in a lot of ways. Very similar to a ceviche, but not cooked in any sort of acid. So it's a very wonderful dish. And don't be frightened, the ogo is that seaweed. It's not the seaweed that you probably remember from the sushi restaurants you see, but it's kind of more like a grass. Very tasty, in my opinion. So I'm going to eat mine. That way Curtis can talk maybe for a second.
Well, while Garrett's eating, we'll talk about pairing beer and seafood a little bit, too. You know, we talk about the three C's, but you also want to look at your beer and how it's going to affect that seafood. Really encourage you to try the seafood with minimal spices and see what kind of flavors are in there. Like, we'll have a salmon later. It's got, like, a real nice, sweet flavor to it. Goes great with a sweet amber. Our amber, of course. Sorry, my little infomercial take there.
Yeah.
But you can also go the other way and get a little hoppy, and it'll cut through some of that fishy taste. Some people don't like that fish taste that comes by. And you can get a nice hoppy beer to cut through that. Thing about great that's great with beer is you can use that in place of water, milk, or wine in any recipes you do. So I really encourage you guys to try and cook with beer anytime you get, because it's a lot more diverse than wine. If you use it with milk, you use about half beer and then still use some milk, or you won't get that fattiness to it. But if you see any beer with wine, water, milk, just try it in. Different beers, obviously, if you got a light recipe, you don't want to use a stout. If you got a dark, heavy beer with a lot of meat, use stout, some darker beer. Like our smoked porter, we actually boil that down and reduce it to a sauce, and it gets a smoky character to it. If you add a little bit of brown sugar to that, it makes a great barbecue sauce. And you like a lot of people put salsa, a little bit of salsa in it, make it spicy, and then you can make little sauces drizzle over that. So
I think go ahead. I was going to say you brought up a good point about using different beers and trying them. When we say cook with beers, like we've all heard, you cook with wine all the time, right? But you don't cook with a wine that you won't drink, right? There's no such thing as cooking wine. Use something you would actually put in your mouth in a glass, right? So same thing with beer. Cook with great quality beer. It'll enhance the level, the flavor, the food. We have our coconut porter. It's probably the beer we're most well known for. We do a lot of chocolate desserts with that. We do an osobuco with that. It's got that characteristic that pairs really well with rich meats. I think one of my favorite things, I'm a glutton for sweets. Like I love cake and cookies and all that fun stuff. My wife and I sometimes at 10:30 at night, it's like, hey, you want to make a cake? And we literally will eat half the batter and then cook the rest. We're horrible. But we sub out the oil for applesauce, and then we take the liquid, which is usually either milk or water in a cake mix, and we just sub it out one for one with coconut porter, and it makes a very moist, delicious cake. A lot of restaurants actually are serving coconut porter cakes or coconut porter ganache on a chocolate cake. But you can really have a lot of fun with the cooking with beer. I think Lucy Saunders has, you have a cooking with beer book up here as well. Lucy Saunders has a grilling with beer, cooking with beer, something that you can get through the BA as well. I encourage you to check that out. You also mentioned wine being one thing.
Uh-huh.
Just if I can go on. Wine is grapes. You may not know, you may have heard of him, Sam Calagione. He's a kind of lesser known dogfish guy. He was on the Today Show and he said, wine is that. Grapes. That's it. Beer is so much more. Can you actually imagine having sex in the same position every time? It doesn't really work. So that's why he says, use beer, add different ingredients, walk in the kitchen, throw something different in the kettle, and have some fun with it. Don't let it be just one thing. I might have paraphrased a little, Sam, if he's going to see this later. So thank you for the line, though. Get a lot of laughs. Oh, we got another one.
Oh, see, now he gets to eat some more salmon. Or salmon. Ahi. Oh,
that's ahi. All right. We're going next.
Yeah. We're doing salmon next.
Yeah.
One thing I did forget to mention, if you do boil down your beers and you want to make like a nice sauce, be really careful you don't get a really extreme hoppy beer. Like if you do a double IPA, because as you boil it down, it's going to get super hoppy. And it can actually really turn bad on you. So if you like a lightly hoppy beer and you still want a little bit of flavor of hops, boil that down and it'll come out just right. We have a lot of fun. We do talk along the lines of what Garrett was saying with trying different products with food, beer products. We do a yearly competition at the Alaskan Brewing Company where we have the crew come in and try and make everything with beer. And we just say, whatever it is, you can make whatever you want, just put beer in it somehow. And we've had some great dishes, pot roast made with amber. We had one guy try to make amber jello. Not too good. I wouldn't suggest it. Would have helped if he put sugar in it, if you can imagine that. But it's so diverse, and it can go with so many different foods. We actually had our crew came out with a cookbook because we have been doing this for like 10 years, and we had so many recipes, and they're listed on our website because we really want people to cook with beer and realize there's so much more to it than just the drinking part of it. So you go on our website if you're interested and just punch in the kind of food and do a search, and you can find something and try it, and I definitely suggest it. And anybody's beer, you know, it's just great to play with. So.
I agree. We don't have a book, but we've been mentioned in different areas, different cooking books with different recipes, mainly coconut porter because that's the one that we're most well known for. But I encourage all our beers, all Alaskan, any beer here for the most part would work really well in food. You know, you got to stop thinking of beer as just something to wash down your pizza with. We really have to start thinking of beer as a complimentary beverage that enhances the overall experience. I think a lot of us go out and we say, oh, I'm having fish, I better have some white wine. or I'm having steak, I better have some red wine. Now, the unfortunate thing is I think we have this mindset of the rules are such hard-line parameters that we must follow, and that's not the case. You know, do what makes you happy. If you want red wine with fish, great, do it. Could work. May not work for everybody, but the same thing goes with beer. You know, start thinking of it as a coconut porter with chocolate. I mean, we make coconut porter floats at our restaurant. We call it a real beer float, an adult version of a childhood favorite. And all that is Rocky Road or Jalpia ice cream with coconut porter over the top. It's really killer. It's a beer float. And people are like, that sounds so weird, but it's good. You just got to try it. You know, and if you don't try it, you'll never know what you're missing, right?
Yeah. So. Yeah. Talk a little bit about the fish, at least from our neck of the woods, and Garrett could talk about what they have available. You know, obviously, Alaska, we have a great, diverse line of fish that come in all through the summer. And you'll see them as various names because we have the traditional name and then what other people call them now. So each fish is really unique on how you cook it. And whether you put beer in it or not, you know, we have king salmon, which is really well known, also is Chinook salmon. And it's a pretty oily fish. So it's great on the barbecue because that oil will cook out and it won't dry out very fast. And that's something really you got to be careful with any kind of fish, as most people know, is they will dry out. This one that we're serving you now is poached salmon. So we poached it in a light broth of amber and water. And it's that'll help keep that moisture in there. This fish is coho silver salmon. So it's got less fat than the king salmon. And that's a hard one to grill because it cooks so fast that it'll dry out really quick. So this one, poaching, or if you bake it with a sauce, is the way to do it. But you'll see it's got a nice, delicate texture. And it's not, a lot of people don't like the king salmon because it can tend to be really oily. So we did a little bit of beer and just poached it lightly in that. Has this great lemony dill sauce that goes with it. So I hope you guys enjoy that. We also have a bunch of other salmon, less known. Everybody knows red salmon, which is very popular. We have, up in Alaska, we have pink salmon, which is usually what you'll find in the canned salmon in the grocery stores. A lot of people make salmon cakes out of that. And we get pretty snobby with our salmon up there, so most people up there don't fish for it. The other great fish we have is halibut, obviously. That's a deep water fish. If you've never seen one, I wish I would have brought a picture. Basically takes a big flat fish, turn it on its side, and as it grows, both eyes kind of will roll to one side. So it's really ugly fish, but it's great tasting. Really light meat, and you got to be really careful what you cook it with. It'll kind of absorb whatever flavors. So it goes great with cream sauces, but if you get something really heavy, sometimes it doesn't quite work.
Yeah, so. It's funny because we went out to dinner the other night. We were at the table full of people, and everybody's ordering ahi, ono. There was a special with mahi, that kind of thing. And I'm looking at it, and she had a special with salmon. And kind of like, I come here and I can't eat ahi, ono, mahi. I have that access anytime. So I was the one person, I think, at the table having salmon when everybody else was eating the fish that I get from back home. So it's kind of funny where you get localized into what's available, you know, readily available to you. It's just our salmon is our ahi. I mean, I don't know if you have salmon every day, and when you come here or you come to Hawaii, you're not eating salmon. It's not a local fish. Wouldn't be as good because we got to fly it in from where you are. So I just thought it was interesting when I come to Colorado, access to so many different things that I don't have, that I want to drink every beer that's brewed here, which is impossible to do. You guys are lucky. You have access to some of the best beer in the world. We had a great dinner at Euclid Hall, new place that just opened up. They had beer and food pairings, killer beer list, no domestic lagers on tap kind of thing. And we had beer-soaked sausage. We had got oysters that were done with a beer granita. It's just really just a phenomenal take on beer and food, not just drinking it, but actually cooking and working with it. I just thought that was fun. You know, I think that's what I look forward to when I come every year to GABF. And it's my fifth year, I think, coming, and I remember most of them. But it's just such a phenomenal place. Denver is awesome. I love you guys.
So, yeah, I appreciate everybody that comes to this because it lets us come, too. Another thing we haven't really talked much with fish that we do a lot up in Alaska is marinating. It helps break the if you use an acidic marinade, teriyaki sauce, like Yoshida sauce, things like that, helps break that meat down and it'll soak into the meat. With fish, that's great. And you can do beer, put it in with like a little bit of teriyaki sauce or soy sauce and like some ginger, some onions, throw in a bag, let it sit overnight. You pull it out and either grill it or bake it, and it just really infuses into the fish. So it really, you know, like poaching is really tough to get that flavor into the fish because it's kind of just cooking the outside of it. If you marinate it, and then I've had people marinate it and then poach it, or marinate it and bake it, and it'll just really pop the next time you have it.
Yeah, cooking with beer, like just at our restaurant, we try to make everything with beer. It doesn't always happen because it doesn't work in everything, but we at least will try it once. I think one of the more unique things we do is even a simple beverage, like a cocktail made with hops. We do a, what we call a hopperita. That's a traditional margarita, but infused with different types of hops. We even grind them down and put them into the salt, so your salt rim is a hop salt rim. Sean Paxton is a friend of mine, and I think just hands down one of the best chefs out there, especially when it comes to beer knowledge. And he did a hop salt at the CBC dinner, World Beer Cup last year in Chicago, or this year in Chicago. And I told him, I said, you know, we've been doing hop salt for a long time, but I think you can keep using it.
That was incredible.
Yeah.
That was great.
It was really, yeah. Really wonderful. The bitterness with the saltiness, it was a lot of fun. We do a coconut porter stew, which most everybody who has that thinks it's like one of the best things they've ever eaten. Just a real rich, flavorful, bold dish. I think my next course is probably going to come out, so I might as well start talking about it.
Yep.
This first dish, this first poke, how did you guys feel about the first poke? It's kind of a maybe I got 30% of you with that one. See, yeah, I can see the guys who have probably been to Hawaii and had traditional. I decided, like I said, to go very traditional to show you what we actually eat. I myself go have poke, like I said, at least once a week. Just swing by the store, grab a green tea and a quarter pound of poke and chopsticks and go back to the brewery and eat. But this next one is a spicy poke done with mayonnaise, and it's going to be topped with some Citra hop pellet. So we're actually going to grind up hops right over the top of it. So you're going to get that sweet, good fattiness from the mayo, a little bit of a kick from the spice, and then you're going to have the bitterness of that hop pellet over the top. Now, we've paired that with our Pia Hale Mild. I didn't even talk about the blonde. I'll have to go back for that later. She's feeling neglected. Yeah, no kidding, huh? This is our first beer and food fight. Pia Hale. Pia means beer. Hale means house. So it's our brew house, beer house. It's an English mild, 4.4% alcohol, very sessionable beer. You can drink quite a few of them, from what I'm told. And I think it works really well with this next dish because it does cut through the fat, so it cuts that flavor of the mayo. The carbonation helps lift it off the tongue and prepare your palate for the next one, the next bite. But also the malty backbone of this beer, I think, works really well with the spice because malt is typically going to be a sweeter flavor, so it helps cool that spiciness that you're getting from the sriracha and sambal that is inside the... is this it? I guess more courses.
We don't rate.
Yeah.
These guys get everything.
Yeah, we're just on the
next
leftovers.
One. We got leftovers.
So anyhow, it's a non-traditional poke, something that's very unique. I think my chef actually created both of these, so I got to throw a shout to Lyndon Honda. But he came over one night, like 11 o'clock. He's like, you gave me the project this morning, and it was my day off, and I've just been making different pokes all day, cooking with different ahi, different hot pellets, that kind of stuff. And he came in at like 11 o'clock. He's like, hey, do you mind if I come over? I think I got it. And brought it in, and I'm just like, dude, I don't feel like doing this, but I just was wowed with the food he made, particularly this next dish, because traditional poke is pretty common. So I'm excited to see the feedback after, since I think maybe 30% of you really, at least raised your hands, really enjoyed the traditional take. It'll be interesting to see how you like the next one.
So, yeah. Well, while Garrett's kind of covered out, we're waiting for everybody to get some fish and beer there. I didn't cover, like, our amber. That was what we had with the salmon last time that we poached it in. And if you haven't had our amber, it's a real light, medium-bodied amber beer with a lot of caramel flavors. We don't put a lot of hops in it. A lot of amber beers you'll find to be a little more hoppy. And that's why ours makes pretty good marinade. But it's pretty good light, sweet beer that goes with a lot of dishes. Doesn't overpower anything. You don't have that big hop kick at the end to kind of contrast with stuff. This beer, you know, we use it a lot for sauces. It boils down great. It'll get really sweet and syrupy. We've done it like where we boiled it down with the sauce and throw pecans in it. And you get this nice pecan caramel. We actually had that on poached salmon about 4 months ago. It was just incredible. Let's see. Anything else?
I'll take some time to talk about my bikini blonde, maybe. Yeah, the questions would be good.
Yeah. Anybody have any questions?
Yeah,
I don't know if
we'll
be able to hear you.
Let's have some fun with it. Anybody have any questions? I can come down with the mic if you want to ask it to everybody, or we can maybe get a translator.
If you don't get any questions, you got to keep
hearing
us
no
talking.
No questions. We got to drink some more beer. Wow. None?
Yeah,
not
we'll
a one.
We'll just keep gabbing. We're
wow,
good at
okay.
it.
All right. You didn't talk about your wheat too much, or your white.
Or what?
Did you?
I'm
did
sorry.
You talk about the white
yeah,
enough?
Yeah, I did the white a little bit. Yep.
Well, Bikini Blonde, our three main beers are Bikini Blonde Lager, Big Swell IPA, and Coconut Porter. Now, we do those all in cans. So if you notice can versus bottle, I guess we could have another fight next year. But we believe the can is a great package for beer, namely because it's one of those pack-it-in, pack-it-out, eco-friendly packaging. It's very light and portable, but it also keeps the beer fresh. Shields it from light, so you won't ever get a light-struck can because the light can actually never touch the beverage. Also, in most canning machines, you have a fairly low oxygen content of that can. And because of the way a can is seamed, it is somewhat more reliable than a crown they're finding. So we chose to can about 3.5 years ago, and it's just, you know, now in a week we do what we used to do in a year. So I think the cans have really taken off for us. John has a question, though. Oh, yeah.
He
said,
repeat
yeah,
it.
John yeah. said, tell us a little bit about the new beer that we're putting into a can. It's a fourth product called the Mana Wheat. Thanks for the shameless plug of self-promotion. It's a Hefeweizen brewed with Maui Gold pineapple. And like I said, we try to draw on where we're from. We use guava, mango, papaya, banana, anything we can get our hands on to brew a different beer. Now, Maui Gold is a very unique species of pineapple. I would say the best in the world. It's a low acid, high sweetness, low fiber pineapple, and very, very tasty. Anybody who's ever had it, you know it's different than the drier stuff you get from Costa Rica. But that is a statement about agriculture in Hawaii, that beer was supposed to come out 2 years ago, but because of the bankruptcy of the people that controlled all the pineapple fields, it was Maui Land and Pine, it was a real estate issue. That pineapple went away for a period of time, largely. We weren't able to get the local fruit. So as opposed to bringing in pineapple, we waited until we could potentially get local pineapple. So we believe in supporting the farmers, and it's very important. Yes, ma'am. Great question. I don't know how I actually can hear this. I think I'm lip reading.
It's because you're front row.
No, I appreciate it. You can't get our beer in Colorado yet, and I don't know, do you sell
yeah,
here?
Yeah, our beer's been in Colorado about 2.5 years.
Oh, cool.
We have all our styles here available at the local stores, so yeah, everything including our seasonal, like our smoked porter, comes out in November, December, so that'll be coming out here in about a month and a half.
And you just won a medal for that beer today, right?
Yeah, actually, we just won a gold medal for our smoked
congratulations.
Porter. Congratulations,
so, yeah. That's awesome.
Thank you.
But our beer is coming out here by the end of the year. So I know a lot of people have been waiting for it for a long time. I think I've told people next year enough that this year I wanted to be able to at least announce that it's coming. So by the end of 2010, you will have our beer on your shelves. Initially, it's just going to be Bikini Blonde Lager, Big Swell IPA, and, of course, Coconut Porter. There won't be draft initially, but we will make plans to do that as we grow. But as always, as long as I'm alive, our beer will be made in Hawaii and never be contract brewed. So you're going to pay a little more maybe than some beers, but you're going to get a very local product coming all the way from Hawaii. It's an import. We are a state, but we do have to send the beer from over 2,500 miles just to get to the West Coast. So it's. But when you try the beers, I hope you like them. I hope you see the value in them. We don't make a 30-pack because that's not what we do. We make 30 packs of flavor in a 4-pack of coconut porter as opposed to yellow fizzy stuff.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
But thank you for the another plug. Yes, sir. Our festival?
Your restaurant.
Restaurant.
Where's your restaurant?
I was close on that one.
Yeah.
Our restaurant is also called Maui Brewing Company. It's in Kahana, which is just north of Lahaina. Yeah, if anybody's familiar with Maui, we're on the west coast. We saw the west side of Maui. Our pub is about 8 miles north of the brewery. The brewery is open to the public now, and it is in Lahaina Town proper. And the production was, yeah.
We'll share this, and then he can go around with the microphone.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So, as soon as you finish.
Yeah. Oh, I'll just finish this question. The production facility is a full 11,000 square foot brewery where we do tours and tastings, and the restaurant is a traditional brew pub done with local flair. So we take local food and integrate that into a brew pub menu. It's not all jalapeno poppers and rings. It's good local food, but done with high quality ingredients. We do pizza. Our dough is made for us by a local baker. You know, we do a beer crust where we're taking the spent grain from making the beer and adding it to the crust. You know, those types of things. So I think, you know, one of my favorite things on the menu is very simple. It's a Maui Cattle Company burger. It's a half pound Maui Cattle Company beef. The lettuce, onion, and tomato are all grown on the island. The bun is made in Oahu. The only thing that's not grown on the island or in the state is the French fries, because we don't grow potatoes. We do some sweet potato fries with the Molokai sweet potato, which is a purple potato. I think here they call them Okinawan potatoes. But our whole goal is to make high quality food. We're trying to get rid of all high fructose corn syrup. So come January 1, you won't even have ketchup and mustard that's mass produced at our restaurant. We're actually making a Bikini Blonde ketchup, a Big Swell IPA mustard, coconut border barbecue sauce, and those will be bottled and on the table at our restaurant. We also make a natural root beer, all Maui made, Maui vanilla, Maui honey, Maui cane sugar, natural ingredients for the extract, those types. So we just try to keep it safe and keep it local, and you know, I think make the best possible food and beer we can, and soda now too.
Oh, that's great, and that's something I didn't know you guys did, was all made it in Maui. That's something we do too as part of our mission statement. We want to make everything made in Alaska. Which isn't always easy to do, because Alaska is so geared towards shipping everything out of Alaska, that's oil and everything else. The only thing we bring in is what we consume. So to try and actually make something there, we're a lot like Garrett is. We bring things in, ship it in, we turn it into beer. But the only thing we get from Juneau is our water, turn around, ship it back out. So it's very challenging, but we've made that same commitment. We always want to say that, yes, this beer is made in Alaska, and it's using fresh Alaska water, same as Garrett's doing. So we're going to trade the mic back and forth here, so we can run around with a microphone.
Are there questions? Anybody?
Hi.
Get my mic on.
I have a question for both of you.
On this one, too, the hot pellets I know are a little...
Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize you were going to ask. Go ahead.
How many states do you currently distribute to? Both of you.
Since I've got the mic on, we are currently in 4 states. By the end of the year, that'll be 7 or 8, because we're doing a big expansion right now. So,
we'll just try this as a microphone. There, hopefully that'll work. Oh, you got another one? Okay. See, I should have made you wear this. Out it. Okay. Okay, everybody hear us? Okay, great. Sorry about that. We're in 10 states right now, so basically the West Coast. We kind of cut off at Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, and jog over to Arizona. So we're slowly, kind of like what Garrett faces, because of our shipping time, we want our beer to be as fresh as it can be. We don't pasteurize. So we do a real methodical growth across the country. We're not kind of hopping over states. And because of the shipping costs, we try to grow into places where we can get shipping. And it's efficient, and it's not going to cause a lot of wasted fuel.
I just want to make a side note on this dish. I know the hot pellets, the pellets are a little overpowering. The intention was for it to be broken up like a salt over the top, so I apologize if you got too much. No, I love the staff. They're doing a great job, but it's rushed. We're kind of short staff back there. But break up the hot pellet if you still have some with your fork, and just little bits, because it's, as you know now, hops are bitter. If you got a whole chunk. So, but to further address your question, we're in California, California, Oregon, Washington, a little bit in Idaho. We're adding, of course, Colorado, Arizona, maybe Texas, maybe Maryland, who knows. We grow a little differently. We used to go with hit the West Coast, next state in, next state in, next state in. But now we're starting to hop over states, and I think our, as I've started the company 5.5, almost 6 years ago, I now have more free time than I ever did in the past because I actually have a great staff who supports me, allowing me to travel and do events like this. So now my distribution plans are, where do I want to go visit? And it's kind of fun because we're also going to do Sweden. I get to go to Japan next year. But I think we just decided that wherever the people really want the beer and that we want to go promote, I think is where we feel like going. Our company has just taken a direction that we didn't really plan on. We learn by doing, and we just keep growing organically from that. So it's a lot of fun. I mean, beer is, you don't get into beer for money, you get into beer for fun. And I was a former stockbroker, so I went way away from corporate finance to get into beer. And I just love beer. It's a spiritually, emotionally very rewarding thing. So, yeah. Anybody else? Thank you, though, for your time. I don't know. We'll be here if you guys want to talk. Do you have a question? No? You just... All right, cool. Shaka. All right, thank you, guys.
Okay, we want to know. Who says fire one? How about the ice? Alaska! Hawaii! Let's hear cheering! Hawaii! Alaska! Hawaii! Alaska! Hawaii! Alaska! Wow! Well, thanks to Alaskan Brewing Company brewer Curtis Holmes, Maui Brewing founder Garrett Marrero, the students are assistants from the Culinary Arts Program at Johnson & Wales, our AV artist, and you, ladies and gentlemen, for being a part of the Beer and Food Pavilion. Podcasts of these presentations are available at craftbeer.com for everything and anything you want to know about craft beer. Thank you for coming. See you. Have a great night. Thank you.